Welcome to Cookbook Club. We are home cooks from Portland, Oregon.
I'm Sarah Gray.
And I'm Renee Wilkinson.
Every other episode of Cookbook Club will be focused not on a cookbook, but a cooking topic. Today, we're going to talk about the holidays, but not the big holiday meals. We want to talk about what you're eating for breakfast that morning. What's your Thanksgiving morning breakfast looking like?
What is it looking like currently, or what should it look like?
Well, that's the question.
What it has looked like the last few years has been like me waking up early and drinking coffee until like 2 o'clock when I finally realize that I'm starving and I'm not going to make it to the Thanksgiving meal without eating something.
Yeah,
for and then
sure.
scrounging around in the refrigerator that has not been set up for anybody to eat anything other than the Thanksgiving dinner.
Right. I think this thing kind of branches into a couple of different conversations for me. The first one is the thing you just said, which is like, if you are a cook and you're making Thanksgiving for who knows how many people, there is an element of like, what are you going to eat to take care of yourself to get through the day?
Mm-hmm.
Then in my mind, the flip side is in our family, lots of times if we are having a big Thanksgiving or, you know, holiday gathering, we generally have overnight guests. Mm-hmm. And so it's not so much about what am I going to feed myself to get through this day? It's more about how am I going to feed these people before I get ready to feed them later?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's kind of like a whole other thing. Like, are you basically feeding a crowd for more meals than just that big like holiday centerpiece meal?
Mm-hmm. I mean, another part of that too is if you travel for the holidays and you're staying with family and friends and you're not in charge of making the really big meal, this is your place to shine.
Yes.
Like, how
Step
can
up
you
and make some breakfast?
Yeah, make something really special, but try not to maybe hog the kitchen too if there's like a really big meal that's coming later that night.
Totally. I think that's brilliant. So, do you have any ideas for how you could make this happen, make a nice breakfast happen on these big holidays?
If I'm the one who's doing the cooking that day and we don't usually have overnight guests because the people who are joining us live in town, I think the secret for me is a make-ahead breakfast. Here's what's important to me about a holiday breakfast. It has really easy prep, or you have prepped it the night before. That is like the most ideal. Second level, it's really easy to throw together quickly. Level below that, it's a completely made ahead thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't require any cooking that day, just like assembly and eat it. And then the other level is like, phone it in, buy something totally pre-made, which I'm just going to admit can be the Rhodes cinnamon rolls from the frozen section of your budget grocery store. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a perfectly acceptable holiday breakfast to make. Everybody's going to be happy. You're going to be eating a ton of processed who knows what, and it's going to taste delicious.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine
it's
to go
get you through.
Have a high low day, you know, where you start breakfast is like a little bit lowbrow, and then like dinner or the main meal is pretty lovely.
Right. I think for me, where my brain goes for making these breakfasts, especially if I think about I've got other people I'm feeding besides just my family, because honestly, if it's just my family and we're like going to Thanksgiving later in the day somewhere else and I've got maybe a cooking project to take on, I'm not worried about hosting and keeping the house clean and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think where my brain goes is always to something sort of heavy, which I don't. Now that I think about that, I'm not sure it makes that much sense, right? If you're going to have a heavy meal later in the day, like maybe you don't want to start with something super heavy, but those have all been my go-to recipes. Like that's what I tend to want and mm-hmm. tend to do for overnight guests or, you know, a good example is on Thanksgiving weekend last year, we were staying at my in-laws and I made these like baked pumpkin donuts, which is a New York Times recipe that you and I both love.
Mm-hmm.
It's pumpkin-y. It's got the spice. Like, it's nice and seasonal.
It's not, like, so heavy because it's not deep fried. It's baked.
But it is a baked good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, I'm like, should I maybe be eating, like, some avocado toast in the morning or something? Like, something that's not so heavy?
Yeah, that would be pretty nice. But I also feel like the holidays are about indulgent, rich food.
That's true.
And these are also days where, like, Thanksgiving, for example, or if you celebrate Christmas, for mm-hmm. example, to me, those are, like, two-meal days.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have a breakfast and you're going to have dinner.
Right, right. Yeah. For me, the Christmas one is a little bit more like I do want that heavy breakfast because there's like festivity in the morning. You know, mm-hmm. that's when my kids are like opening their stockings and, you know, we do presents on Christmas morning. And so I feel like that's nice to have like a special thing to eat while you're doing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
A seasonal recipe that I love that I think really lends itself well to that, like, you know, encapsulation of like indulgence and seasonality is a New York Times recipe. It's for a cranberry crumb muffin.
Ooh.
So it's a muffin. It has whole, like, fresh cranberries in it.
Yum.
And it has a crumb topping. Mm-hmm. They are phenomenal. Like, you get that tartness from the cranberry, which kind of cuts through the heaviness. Mm-hmm. And I think those are phenomenal. And they're, like, bright and colorful and beautiful.
That sounds like a really fun recipe.
Yeah, I gotta check that. They're not hard to make.
Another baked donut recipe that I should get on your radar is the apple cider baked donut from the New York Times. Have you tried that one?
I haven't tried it yet.
It's really good. I made it this last weekend for my bee club that meets monthly in my neighborhood.
Excellent.
So we can talk about honeybees without boring everybody else in our life. It was really easy to make, very fast, just like the pumpkin donut recipe. This one is a little bit different because it uses an obscene amount of butter.
Okay.
So I actually cut the butter in half. The way you finish the apple cider donut is that when it comes out after it's cooled for a few minutes, you brush on melted butter.
Ooh.
And then you toss it with a cinnamon sugar mixture. So I actually just skipped the whole melted butter step. And I just, while they were still a little warm, tossed them with cinnamon sugar because when it's still warm, it will help the sugar cling to it.
Oh, right.
And then we ate them outside in the garden, which is the perfect place to eat a very messy donut.
Yeah.
It was good.
That sounds delicious.
In case you want a little something to mix up if you're feeling too pumpkined out by the time the holidays hit.
Renee joined me in the donut pan club.
I'm on team donut pan.
Team donut pan for sure.
I think people are like, oh, I don't want another kitchen gadget. It's like, well, if it's a thing that you use all the time,
right.
Like I'll use the heck out of it. And when I stop using it,
and you can store it vertically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not super deep.
No, they're tiny.
It doesn't take up a lot of room. Just put it with your baking sheets.
Yeah. And if I leave this donut phase of my life, then someone else from my Buy Nothing group can use my donut pan.
Exactly.
It's the gift that keeps giving. Have you ever tried making waffles with stuffing?
No.
I think this is a thing that I have not made. This is sort of a day after holidays than breakfast. And I know we can have a whole episode about Thanksgiving leftovers. And so I don't want to like steal the thunder from that. But I do think that people take stuffing and they will just smash it in a waffle iron and then close it and then make it that way and then put maple syrup on top.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard it's pretty good.
Kind of fun.
I have a lot of easy breakfasts that I would think about making.
About
so these are maybe not like showstoppers, but I think they're very delicious. I've had them all. One of them is a sheet pan and sausage breakfast hash. And it comes from the book One Pan and Done by Molly Gilbert. She also is the author of Sheet Pan Suppers, which is a book that I have really liked for family cooking.
Yeah.
The sweet potato and sausage breakfast hash uses already cooked chicken apple sausage. And the list is very short. It's like sweet potatoes, sausage, red onion, olive oil, salt, whatever.
Yum.
So you bake it on a sheet pan that's lined with foil. And then towards the end of baking it, roasting it in the oven, you pull out the sheet pan and you crack eggs directly into it.
Like
you make little spaces for them.
Right.
And then you pop it back in just for a couple minutes for the egg's yolk to set as much as you would like it to set and then eat it that way.
That's brilliant. I mean, it sounds really good.
Yeah. And I think it looks really pretty when it comes out.
The sweet potato.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's very simple.
Sounds really good.
Another one, if you feel like you have the stamina to stand at the stovetop, you could bang out some pancakes.
Yeah.
Like the fluffy pumpkin pancakes from Yossi Arafia from the New York Times, or the buckwheat pancakes from the Camp Out cookbook.
Yeah.
What I like about that, the buckwheat ones, is that you make the mix ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so you just have to mix the liquids in with it. So that could make
pretty simple prep.
Yeah. Make it a little bit easier.
That's smart. I have had really good luck, and this has been a Christmas morning breakfast for us, with making a overnight baked French toast. So instead of preparing individual French toast, you can make like a bake, basically. Mm. So it's almost kind of like a French toast bread pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really tasty. There's a New York Times recipe for that. I mean, there's a bunch of recipes out there for that, but that's just like a really nice, like, decadent Christmas morning thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried making not the New York Times recipe for that, but some other recipe somewhere that I found on the internet. And I just really didn't think it turned out great.
Yeah.
So I think having like good examples of recipes to go to is important.
Right. For sure. I also have had good luck with cinnamon rolls. So, they're a little finicky, right? Because they're yeasted and, you know, you have to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a recipe from the Half-Baked Harvest, which is called Overnight Eggnog Brioche Cinnamon Rolls. And they are like so decadent, so rich. And they've got eggnog in the batter. So it's a really nice flavor.
That sounds really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something that I would love to do for the holiday breakfast this year is to make the baked oatmeal from Supernatural every day.
Oh, yeah. You like that recipe a lot.
Yeah. By Heidi Swanson. What I like about it, I mean, I like a lot of things about it. I wish I could eat like this all the time. The fruit is pretty versatile.
Yeah.
So like she calls for huckleberries. You could use blueberries. You could use apples. I kind of wonder if you could use some mixture of like maybe apple with cranberry.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Even. Yeah.
But you layer the dessert and there's a layer of like almost overripe bananas on the very bottom.
Yeah.
And then you have your mixture of like oats and some seasoning and a little egg and stuff like that. And then on top are the berries. And then you can add nuts as well. And I like that you can kind of assemble it all if you wanted the day before and then just put it in the oven that morning.
That's really smart.
And the bananas at the bottom almost make it like pudding-like when you eat it.
They
and
add that nice texture.
Yeah. And if you felt like you needed some extra sweetness, you could add a little bit of melted butter and maple syrup on top.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is really beautiful and it's really tasty.
That sounds great. I like the idea of going like sweet and decadent and like a baked good, because obviously I love to bake. But also you can kind of go the other direction, still be kind of like heavy and indulgent, but go like more savory. And so one, I love like an egg casserole. And those are things that you can sometimes make ahead. America's Test Kitchen has a really great strata recipe that has like Gruyere with like the layered. I mean, that has bread in it, so it's not like, you know, it's still pretty starchy. But there's a really good one, the bacon, egg and cheese breakfast casserole from the New York Times. It's an Allison Roman recipe.
Oh, okay.
It's very decadent. Like it's very sort of heavy, but it's got that like bacon, egg and cheese flavor altogether. And there's a number of like really great, I think, egg casseroles to go to. You know, there are some with like hash browns in them. There's a great one from the New York Times, which is called the Cheesy Breakfast Egg and Polenta Casserole, which has like a polenta layer that's like still like quite soft. And then there are eggs sort of like nested in it. It's really delicious.
That sounds fabulous. Is that gluten-free?
Yeah, it's gluten-free.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
So yeah, it's got polenta and then the eggs, and then it's got cheese and then some thinly sliced cured meat, like hot or sweet Italian sausage or salami or ham. So it's like, it's rich, but it's just a little bit unusual. And I thought it was really delicious. This one is a Sarah Copeland recipe from the New York Times.
Sarah Copeland is great.
Yeah, she's great. And so I love an egg casserole. I feel like it's hard to go wrong. Like every time I have a group for breakfast, I pretty much always go the way of an egg casserole.
How is an egg casserole different than a quiche?
It's in a 9x13 and it doesn't have a crust.
Okay, because a quiche has to have a crust. But then where is the frittata in all this?
I think a frittata is less dense. I think of a breakfast casserole as being like much heartier. It often has meat in it.
Okay.
It sometimes has some kind of bread in it. Like there's a New York Times recipe for an English muffin breakfast casserole that has English muffins in it.
Interesting.
And then you're sort of crossing over into like strata territory.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe it's just in a casserole dish.
Okay. And maybe it just is like calling it a casserole frees you of you can put whatever you want in it.
Well, and I also feel like a frittata, you often at least start it on the stovetop, but an egg casserole, you're just throwing it in the oven.
Okay, there's
so
no pre-cooking.
It's lower maintenance in that way. And a lot of times with an egg casserole, you can make it the night before.
Okay.
And then just toss it in the morning. And they usually have to bake for a long time, but who cares? It's hands-off time.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. So there's a, like the New York Times has a lot of them, of these egg casseroles, and I just think they're so good. They're like so like dense and buttery and, you know, eggy. So you're like getting a protein hit, but they're delicious.
Another one that I would like to do for holiday breakfast is do a board or a like cheese plate, sort of grazing plate situation.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah. There's this book that I really like called That Cheese Plate Will Change Your Life by Marissa Mullen. It's so much fun. It's sort of like a cheese by the numbers method where she...
That book is really fun.
There's so many cheese plates in here too. There's one for like every occasion that you could possibly think of. There's not a funeral cheese plate. I'll just say that. But she has one that's a bagel morning plate that has lox and salami and brie and a bunch of beautiful fruit and olives and tangy things and cream cheese. That would be a really good one. And she also has one called That Morning Marmalade Plate that has aged Gouda, but it also has cottage cheese.
Interesting.
And English muffins and then a couple different kinds of marmalade and a lot of fruit and nuts. So I feel like that could be a really good way to, especially if you have a crowd and if you want to kind of bridge the like going from breakfast to the main meal.
Right.
Having some sort of grazing plate like that, I think could take you all the way there.
I think a grazing plate is a great idea. And And it makes me think also of in the Campout Cookbook, they've got those backcountry breakfast boards.
Oh, yeah.
And so you could probably gather some inspiration from that as well.
Good call.
I mean, who doesn't love like a board of, and then you can just choose whatever is like speaking to you.
Yeah. And you can put the kids in charge of it.
Like, that's a great point.
In this book in particular, there's like a diagram of like, okay, step one, you know, illustration, like put these things on there. Step two, step three, step. So you go through the steps and you end up with this beautiful board at the end.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something that a kid could organize.
Yeah, that's very true. That is a good job for a kid.
We're going to take a short break to catch our breath. We'll be right back.
Dropcloth Samplers is a line of hand-drawn embroidery samplers, printed and ready for you to jump in and start stitching right away. Each pattern is hand-drawn by Rebecca Ringquist in her Portland, Oregon studio and printed for you to embroider with your own color and thread choices, like coloring book pages, but for embroidery. And with Rebecca's custom classes on Creative Bug, she's with you every step of the way. You can find Dropcloth Samplers on Instagram at dropcloth or online at dropclothsamplers.com. A couple make-ahead ideas if you really wanted to be super hands-off that day, or if you're traveling somewhere for the holiday and you want to contribute something to that day and take a little bit of pressure off of the host to make breakfast. You could make granola in advance and bring it.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. I mean, we love the 11 Madison Park granola recipe from the New York Times, but I know the Campout Cookbook has a great recipe. Mm-hmm. There's lots of great recipes.
So much great granola recipes out there.
You could also make biscotti ahead of time.
Oh, that's smart.
I think that would be really fun.
Yeah.
And then you can always, once you find a good biscotti recipe, you can basically like play to your heart's content.
Yeah. Like, do you have a favorite biscotti recipe?
I'll link to the one in the show notes that I use as sort of a template most often.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, around if you celebrate Christmas, you can put like pistachios and dried cranberries in it for color. But if you don't care about that, you know, there's lots of endless combinations you can do. Make it like tropical or whatever.
I really like the granola biscotti from Smitten Kitchen.
Yeah.
Smitten Kitchen every day.
I got to try that recipe. Mm-hmm. That sounded good.
It's really good. I also really like the Union Square Cafe's chocolate biscotti recipe, which is a New York Times recipe.
Oh.
And it's chocolatey, so it's like, you know, a little bit decadent, but they're really delicious.
Yeah. I mean, even if it ends up turning into a snack throughout the day for the cook or the cooks, you know, that is still very worthy of
Is a chocolate biscotti a bad choice.
No. Yeah, I get that some people just don't like biscotti, but maybe I just drink so much coffee, I'm like...
Well, that's the thing, is it goes well with coffee. And if ever there was a morning to like savor and linger with your coffee, it's like Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah. And then just to, again, bring up the pre-made thing, like it's okay to not be a hero, you know? And so Rhodes cinnamon rolls are really good, especially if you take them out the night before and let them proof overnight in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
But also Trader Joe's makes frozen croissants that are really, really good.
Yeah.
So those are, and I think that Kirsten from Cookbook Club even has like some sort of mail order frozen croissant.
That's cool. One of the big takeaways for me on this holiday breakfast idea is to empower people to take over the breakfast role if you are not the main cook of the meal, of the big meal of the day. I think that's such a thoughtful gesture, especially if you're not going to like take over the kitchen and make it messy. I just think it's so nice to just like step in and be like, I've got breakfast, especially if there's other mouths to feed.
Yeah. Or if you are the host, then tell people.
Yeah.
Like,
assign
why don't you,
that job.
You be in charge of that.
You can be in charge of breakfast. And here's a recipe you could make the night before. So I don't have to be tripping over you while I'm starting my turkey and all that. It could also be nice to like try to pair, you know, something lighter at that breakfast, even though like to still be something special, but like something a little lighter just because you know that it's going to be like heavy. Things are going to be heavier later in the day. So even like a fruit salad or like something like a little bit lighter like that might be nice.
Well, you and I both lived in Spain at different times. So I love the idea. You'll maybe appreciate this, that you could get cantaloupe, which is maybe not perfectly in season, but maybe we can just hold our noses and still buy it, or honeydew melon or something. So some sort of like grape melon and cut it up into slices and then just drape some beautiful prosciutto over the top of it.
Can't go wrong there.
And have some English muffins and call that breakfast.
Right, right. Totally. I mean, it really doesn't need to be a whole thing.
No.
Like, avocado toast. I love that idea. Like even just a pot of oatmeal.
Yeah.
Like put a pot of oatmeal on. People can come help themselves. Let it be done. Like put out some raisins because there's plenty happening later in the day. So I don't feel like breakfast on those big days should be a stressor.
But it's almost like Thanksgiving breakfast the day after Thanksgiving, you know, like when you do still when you're out of steam, like you have nothing left in the tank. Or on Christmas morning, if you celebrate Christmas, usually that's kind of like a big time where my kids anyways are bouncing off the walls and can't wait to open their presents. Right. And like every but I know that like they need to eat. Otherwise, they're going to implode.
Right.
So being able to have something in the refrigerator the night before that I could slip in the oven while we do the presents. Yeah. And then after
and
that
is a particular thing with the kids, because I feel like a lot of the times I'm trying to like do the breakfast and they're like, let's open presents. And I don't want them to open the presents without me. But I'm like in the other room trying to get breakfast going. And so, yeah, that is definitely like a whole balance. So that's where the make ahead thing comes in, or it's something you can just pop in the oven. And then once the excitement has died down a little bit, it comes out of the oven and everybody can eat.
I think that you can make pancake batter ahead too. Like you could make it the night before and have it in the refrigerator and then pour it onto the griddle that morning.
Yeah. There's also a recipe from the kitchen, which is an overnight yeasted waffle recipe. So you make the batter the night before. It's a yeasted recipe and like it gets really nice and fluffy. And then you can make waffles in the morning, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that sounds really special. I never make waffles for my kids. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Well, it's so much work because you have to do them one at a time.
Yeah. And we have like a really nice griddle on our oven now where I can do like 6 to 8 pancakes at a time. So I feel like
I know. I like my electric griddle. It's like I just do 2 batches and that's it.
Yeah. It's like a short order cook.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's like coffee
cakes. You can make coffee cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But coffee cake to me is sort of like empty fuel.
Yeah.
Like it makes you feel good for.
Yeah. But I mean, same thing with muffins.
Yeah.
And cinnamon rolls.
But somehow these, I don't know, some of these pancake recipes actually do have some like nutritional value to them, which is why I like the buckwheat one because it actually like sticks to your ribs.
A little stickier,
Yeah, and the pumpkin one has actual pumpkin in it.
Yeah.
Because I think that you need the fuel to be able to bridge from like morning to evening meal.
I almost feel like do the coffee cake, do the muffin, do the cinnamon roll, and then like scramble some eggs on the side or something if you really need like something to carry you through the day.
Or you could also use your Instant Pot to cook a bunch of eggs the night before and keep them in the refrigerator and then just put that out with like the lox and the bagels and the cream cheese and just let people figure
that
it out.
That sounds really nice. You know what I love to do with the like boiled eggs is the recipe from Small Victories by Julia Tertian. It's called Green Eggs with or Without Ham. And it's just basically hard boiled egg and you make like an herb and olive oil sauce that you put on the top and it really elevates the boiled egg. And you could make it ahead. You can make the sauce ahead and just like spoon it on top.
I'm really like feeling the board grazing plate thing.
Because that would work well on a grazing board.
Yeah. Because for our family, it's always like, well, what can I make that's going to work for everybody?
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do that. But the grazing plate is awesome, especially if you have like guests and stuff. Somebody's going to have a dietary restriction.
So of course, they always
just get like a big board and put it all on there. And then people can just grab things that work for them.
Yeah, totally. I like that idea a lot. And you could kind of go with a theme. Like I know those backcountry breakfast boards in the Camp Out cookbook, like one of them is like kind of French, like you like have croissants on it and some French cheese and stuff like that. And I think there's one that's like German, like you do like the pumpernickel bread and, you know, some lox or some smoked salmon or something. You know, you could go with a theme.
Well, this was fun to talk about. I hope that just the episode alone, even if you don't make any of the recipes we talked about, it at least plants the seed with you of like, oh, yeah, maybe I should have a plan for that when I do like the holiday plan for the meal. Like, who's going to make breakfast and what is it going to be? Because at our house, we have not had that dialed in the last couple of years. And it's really hard.
It's definitely a piece. And then if it sneaks up on you, then it has the power to like cascade a stress effect because you're already like trying to plan every minute of this day.
I mean, it feels kind of sad to me to be eating like cold cereal or just like yogurt from the fridge when I'm cooking this
on,
epic
like,
feast.
Day. Yeah.
Like you should have something a little bit special
but
that
also
morning.
You could go high low, you know, bowl of Cheerios in the morning, turkey dinner in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Although I will go on record that there's only one thing I'm interested in eating for breakfast the day after Thanksgiving.
What is that?
And that is pumpkin pie.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing I'll eat that day.
That's true. Pie for breakfast is kind of the perfect
thing.
It's
the one day a year when I eat pie for breakfast.
I wonder if you could make like a fruit crisp that is like somehow a little bit more nutritionally dense, which I guess is where the baked
oatmeal comes in.
Comes from. But yeah, if you could just add like enough nuts to something where it felt like you were getting some protein.
Or even, I wonder if you could do the baked oatmeal thing and then do like a crumble topping on top of it to like kind of dessert it up a little bit. That could be fun.
We sure hope that you guys will join us next time when we'll be cooking from Nothing Fancy by Alison Roman. Sarah, why did we pick this book?
Oh my goodness. Get ready to talk about Alison Roman. This book is really interesting. It's like an entertaining book, although Alison Roman would tell you that she hates the term entertaining. She just likes having people over. It's a really interesting book. It's got a lot of her sort of like signature, like punchy flavors and inventive combinations. And she is an interesting personality, of which there's a lot of it in the book.
I think it will be a really juicy discussion.
I think you're right. Cook along with us between now and then. Just tag us on Instagram at Cookbook Club Show, or send us a voice memo or a comment at cookbookclubshow@gmail.com. You can find us online at cookbookclub.show.
Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss the next one, and leaving us a review helps other home cooks find us too.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.